again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah ji omr for salam, saying salam is sunnah, but replying for salam is compulsory. If you don't reply for salam in day of qiyamah, you have to give your reward. Now you owe me. If I make sure that you reply to me, then I get. What does the salam mean? Before I start, what does the salam mean? Peace be on you. You know, 1 year ago, there was a Buddhist international dialogue took place in Ganadari. Various religious leaders and speakers came and they spoke about the greeting. Greeting, you know. When it comes to greeting, the Western greeting that all of us are used, in the morning they will say good morning, afternoon good afternoon, the evening good evening, the night good night. According to time, the greeting is changing. A man can walk out in the morning, he didn't have a good sleep. You say good morning for him, there is no good morning for him. It's not a good for him, right? It's a terrible day for him. The night is having a lot of pain. Can you say good night? It's a terrible thing. It has no meaning. It has no meaning in that greeting. Just you are saying good morning. You know, good afternoon. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful universal greeting that can be greeted any time, any way, can be for any person, any situation. Because each and every one of us are looking for peace and contentment in our life. Anything you do. End of the day, we are looking for that. Assalamu alaikum, may Allah's peace upon Allah. When we have got the peace from Allah and contentment from Allah, nothing else we need. Nothing else we need. We are doing everything to get that happiness. So it is one of the greatest amal which was introduced by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the amal of greeting. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want to unite the community, you spread salam, afsus salam bainakum, spread salam. You spread salam. And a very beautiful hadith, I will come to topic by saying this hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you will enter paradise until you bring proper iman. لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You know what is iman? Believe in Allah and His messengers and all the six articles of iman, you know that. Angels and the books. Until you bring proper iman, you will never ever enter Jannah. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will never ever become a real believer until you love each other. As we are here, we are brothers. We have to love a Muslim brother. Anyway, a Muslim in trouble, they should be at least, we need to feel a little bit hurt and say, you can't help it, but alhamdulillah, may Allah give him something. At least a dua. We need to have that faith. And wala tahabu, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you will never love each other until you what? Huh? What? لا تؤمنوا لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will never ever love each other until you spread and greet each other, exchange salam. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I inform you something will create love and bond connection between you? That's salam. So before we start, whenever we go, it's fine. Wherever it is, when about salam, there are so many stories where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent message. Even yesterday, last night's lecture, I had a series of lectures every week going on Wednesday in Raq and the Masjid. I speak about the seerah, the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last night's topic was the life of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Khadija radiallahu anha. She is the one of the ladies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself sent salam from Jibreel alayhi wa sallam. That means the peace, that message was given. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam came to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, now Khadija radiallahu anha will come. Just inform her that her Rabb, her Lord, Allah is sending salam for her. Allah. And just inform that I am Jibreel also giving salam for her. So this is the one amal, one action, a practice that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Sending peace. So we need to, you know, practice this within ourselves. Don't feel shame. Don't feel, you know, embarrassed. It's, you know, sometimes we don't feel, hello, hi, how are you? You know, because we feel sometimes saying salam will just show us as someone different. Someone will think, hey, what is he? He's not with us, he's not with the train, he's not saying hi, bye, you know. So it's very important. Keep that in your mind and salam. Anybody greets you, make sure that you reply for him. If you don't reply in day of Qiyamah, you have to give your reward to him because it's wajib. Right. And let us just get into today's topic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi wahda, wa salatu wa salam ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Today's topic is a topic that every prophet who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to this earth, they have warned their ummah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no prophet came to this world without warning their ummah regarding this matter. Every prophet has warned, and for deed, you know, for a very detailed explanation and description and how it will take place, when it will take place, and who is he. This detailed explanation was given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never left anything, any calamity, any difficulty, any trial, any test that's going to affect us without warning. Everything. Any problem you're going to face in the world, about that, definitely Quran has spoken about it, or Hadith has spoken about it. Can be any trial, any test. Sometimes you might think, at that time we didn't have problems of, you know, Facebook problems, we didn't have internet, this, you know, problems of, you know, what do you call it, hacking the site and hacking your account. All this we didn't have it. So these are the problems and trials and tests you are facing. In different ways. That those days we didn't have television. So we may think that all these things sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say. My dear brothers, every single test and every single calamity that the ummah, the followers going to face, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already have warned us, and he has given us the method how to protect ourselves from that. Allahu Akbar. That is the beauty. Saying you're going to face this problem, and this how you can solve the problem, and this how you can counter attack the problem. The solution was given to us. So that is the beauty of Islam. Nothing, no question that remain in Islam without being answered. Every question which has been asked and which can be asked, which people are asking, every question has been answered in Quran and Hadith. No one can say nothing. I'll tell you, for example, once in India, this long time ago, there was debate. Those days there was debate between scholars in the public space where they debate each other. Now also we have different religions they debate to make sure that the audience will come to a balanced understanding which religion or which ideology is correct. In one of the debates, he said, you know, Quran has everything. For every single thing, Quran has a solution. For every question, Quran has answered. Then, you know, sometimes our guys, we try to be a bit funny, you know. One of the audience stood up and asked the question, does Quran teach how to make bread? You know, how to bake a bread, does Quran teach? So the entire, all the audience, they start, you know, laughing, you know, bread. At that time they didn't have bread, they had roti, you know, they had roti, different type of thing done with da. But the bread and the cakes, you can ask now, all modern names, you know. Same thing, everything is done by flour, but different names and different ingredient mix. So everybody and the Muslims who were present there, they thought, okay, now the Sheikh is in trouble. Because Quran doesn't speak about bread. Quran doesn't say how to make bread. He said, yes, Quran has said. What? He said, any bakers who are here? Few bakers put up here. Can you come to the stage? Got him to the stage. Make the demonstration. Make the demonstration. Okay, this is what we do, so much of water. Okay, now right, this is what Quran says. If you don't know anything, ask someone who has the knowledge about it. Yes, we got that. I don't know how to make the bread. But Quran says that, if you don't know, if you don't have knowledge about something, you ask. Asking questions, that's what I said many a time, I think our sixth session going on, we have very few questions in the end of the session. The reason, one thing maybe we are feeling shy, other thing we are not into the topic, various reason might be. So we need to ask questions. Sometimes even a stupid question have lot of lesson. His intention was to corner the sheikh. But the entire audience learned so many things there. They said, okay, yes. Quran says to ask, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, ask about that, the one who has knowledge about it. One who has knowledge, so you are following the Quran. So you are following the Sunnah. Says you need to always ask and give a good hearing. That's why the first thing Quran says, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ. When Quran has been read, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Not just listen to it, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Give a good hearing for it. That is a mistake what we do. Quran says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Give a very good, attentively listen to it. وَأَنْسِتُوا. And then say, then you keep quiet, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. You will be blessed if you do that. So, today's topic about Dajjal. You know, Dajjal, when you go on YouTube and various, in internet you can go browse and say Dajjal. Many people, some, you know, graphics being designed and various things, scholars about Dajjal they speak. Who is this Dajjal? This is one of the tests and one of the major signs of Day of Qiyamah, the final day. Until Dajjal comes, the final day will never occur. If Dajjal has come, then you must think that the end for this world, the destruction, the world is going to end soon. And see, but every prophet, from Adam alayhi salam till Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam, every prophet has warned their ummah, their followers, as such person, that Dajjal will come and his trial and test will be so much, he will test our iman. That is very important. He will test our faith, nothing else. He will test our faith, and very much we have to be careful. People who follow the trend, people who go with majority, people think, okay, everyone is doing so, why must I just sit? Everyone is doing it. No. Always we need to learn, always we need to practice ourselves and discipline ourselves in such way that we don't go with the trend. We don't go with the trend. We go with what? We go through Islam. We go which is right. We follow which is right. Don't go through trend. When you get used to following the trend, even something which is not right, you are forced to follow. You are forced to do it. Sometimes you don't like it. You know, among the friends, you know, we as youngsters, we have every time different, you know, fashion comes up. The Colombo, HSBC Colombo fashion was this week, was just over. You know, people are talking about Colombo, talking about that, different fashion. You know, young man, they come up with, that other day I was walking, in the three-wheel I was walking through, there was a young man, he's wearing his jeans, and I can see his undergarment, and he said, kiss me. The underpants says, kiss me. The passing through, yeah, he wasn't a Muslim guy, I stopped the three-wheel, I said, where must I kiss you? Where must I kiss you? Because the back is displaying, saying, kiss me. At the back. I stopped him. I said, where must I kiss you? He doesn't even know. He doesn't know he's carrying something like that. Without realizing that was the trend. All the friends were what? Wearing it, they go there, it looks nice. Without him realizing, he said, he felt so ashamed. He said, no, sorry. And he put it up and he walked, but still it went down, you know. He felt that sometimes you don't like it, but the environment is such, the trend is such, it forces you to do certain things. So very important, mainly we youth, youngsters, we get trapped to all this trend. When things are happening, you say, this is the trend. Now trend is this. We like, now you have a mobile phone, nothing wrong with it. One of your friends has come up with a new phone, now you want to take that. You're wearing a nice, you know, pair of tacky and shoe. Nothing wrong with it, you can use for another 2 years. Your friend had come up with the news, so you want to go for it. So don't go. The people who are going to go with trend, they're going to get trapped when Dajjal comes. And don't believe whatever you see. These are the two people. Whatever you see, you believe, you are in trouble. Dajjal will really show you. Dajjal will claim that he is the Lord, and he'll say, you need evidence? Yes. If you just command the sky starts, you know.
the whole rain down. It will be a huge drought, no rain for a couple of years. He will say, oh, raining. People say, yes. If he can bring the rain down, he's gone. The land will be barren, nothing, no cultivation at all. He will just command the land. Oh, cultivation, the greenery will go just while we are looking at it. So people looking at that, they believe, yes. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned everyone, we have to be very, very careful about the jah. A very beautiful hadith, a long, lengthy hadith. If we go back home, inshallah, Shaykh Riyadhus Salihin, that has been translated in all three languages that we speak, English, Tamil, Sinhala. Whatever language you want to see, you can refer. The last chapter, Kitab al-Mahsurat wal-Malk, the chapter of test. Chapter of test or chapter of the final day. It speaks about the final day, the signs of it. It speaks about it. And the first hadith about Dajjal, Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu raised this hadith. This hadith has been recorded in Muslim Sharif as well. Muslim is one of the most authentic sources of hadith after Bukhari. The second most authentic source of hadith is Muslim. This lengthy hadith has been recorded there. Now Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu says, once in the morning, just in the time of dawn, all of us were sitting and we were discussing various things. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some, you know, we were enjoying happily, you know, discussing. He came and told us the story of the Dajjal. Sometimes he used to speak so much about the Dajjal, we felt he's so significant. That means he's very powerful. Very powerful. Sometimes Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the Dajjal to be someone very insignificant. He's not powerful at all. He cannot do it. But we felt the way he gave the description, we felt that even Dajjal must be hiding somewhere here, you know, in our palm trees. Till evening they couldn't eat, they couldn't, they were very sad, they were very worried. Dajjal may come out. Dajjal may come out now, so we are in trouble. So we were worrying about it. Because the chapter didn't end. In the morning, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts about Dajjal, they all filled with fear, the face was their fear. In between, I'm telling you another story which doesn't come in this hadith. The story of between Hafsa radiallahu anh and Aisha radiallahu anh. These are the two prophets, these are the two wives of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were always, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, at once he had around 9 wives together. In his last period of life, he had 9 wives. When he passed away, he left 9 widows and 9 widows. But we must remember one thing when it comes to marriage life of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived 25 years alone with one lady, that is Khadija radiallahu anha. After he reached 52, he's very closer to what? His old age, almost past 15 years, he has reached his old age. After 52 till 63, that is the 10 to 11 years only he married all the other wives. For every marriage there is reason. In Quran and Hadith, why did he get married? He didn't get married for his worldly benefits. It was all based on a religion, religious objective. Everything. All based on that. Just for example on that, because we as youngsters, we move with this Western ideology. And they will talk and they attack sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality severely in this aspect of life. And we don't know. We don't know, okay, till 52 he only was married to one person? We don't know that. We only know that they will say he was married to 13 women. They will just say that. Until 52, he had a very personal, good life with his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. And after that he said, none of the other wives can replace Khadija radiallahu anha. She is the best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Anyway, I'm just going out. So when the, among the wives, they all, normally, you know, women has normally feminine jealousy, you know, that is natural. Among the sisters, you know, then sister-in-laws. This is naturally, you know, this is nature that Allah has created. One of the wives, I think it was Safiya radiallahu anha, or Safiya radiallahu anha, I think. I'm not sure about her. But she was dressed up very well, very beautifully she had dressed. And she is expecting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. Now these two wives then, oh, now she is dressed up so nicely, she had made her, you know, she had make up herself so beautifully. If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come, he will get attracted to her. So we have to do something here. So always Hafsa radiallahu anha and Aisha radiallahu anha, they were always that friend. So they plan things together. So Aisha radiallahu anha called Afsar radiallahu anha. We have to plan and do something. Say, what do you do? Okay. You do what? You tell that Safiya, Dajjal has come. Tell her that Dajjal has come. So she will ask what to do, because they are senior than her. When it comes to Islam, they were senior. She will ask us what to do. Then just tell her to go and hide herself in a very old shanty where she will dirty herself. Good? Good plan. She came, both of them got together and said, Dajjal has come. She was so much frightened about Dajjal. She heard Dajjal is such a severe, you know, such a bad man, he can do so many things. So she was so much frightened about Dajjal, she immediately asked, what must I do? Same thing happened. They said, oh, go and hide yourself there. She ran in there and she was hiding herself. And they were laughing. Both of them was laughing. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and asked, what I see you all just laughing so much, your teeth can be seen, what's wrong? They couldn't even reply, they couldn't even answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're going on laughing and they just indicated, go and see this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in there and said, Safiya radiallahu anha. I'm not sure is it exactly Safiya, but one of the wives. She was shivering inside. She asked, what's wrong with you? She said, Dajjal has come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped smiling. He just understood that these two have played a game with her. Just took her out, don't worry. If the Dajjal comes while I am, you know, here, I am present, I will take care of him, don't worry. Called when she came out, she had dirty herself, you know, makeup, everything is gone. They got their objective. They asked, what you do? They say, oh, sallallahu, we played a game, you know. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make it an issue. What I'm saying that, it is connected to this so much of fear, the Sahaba's fear, you know, they had so much of fear about the Dajjal. Every Prophet has gone, right? So in the evening, that morning, I'm coming back to the hadith, that morning, Sahabas heard about Dajjal. In the evening, they were filled with fear. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were not smiling. Then you can see, when person is upset, automatically you can identify. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what's wrong with you all? Why are you so frightened? Said, Ya Rasulullah, you mentioned to us in the morning about Dajjal. We thought that the Dajjal is surrounding somewhere here, so we are so much filled with fear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I warned you about various things. And he went on saying that, if the Dajjal comes while I am present, I will take care of him. I will take care of him. Then he said, if he comes while I am not present, each and every one of you have to take care of yourself. Now they were standing, the Dajjal didn't come. Time of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Dajjal didn't come, but there was a man who is resembling the Dajjal in his physical features. He had the same resemblance. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dajjal is one-eyed, means it doesn't mean that he has a one eye in the middle, no. He has two eyes like us, but one eye he cannot see, it will be like a wounded eye. Only one eye can use, only wounded eye. And every believer will be able to see in his forehead written kafara, kafir, the word kafara, kafir, it will be written in his forehead. Every believer will be able to recognize and see that. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to safeguard yourself from the Dajjal, you have to read the beginning of the Surah Al-Kahf. Beginning of Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. Tomorrow is a Friday. It is sunnah to read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from one Friday to the next Friday. And all the sins, all the shortcomings, all the mistakes that you have done, from one Friday to other Friday is forgiven. If the Dajjal comes in between, that Allah will safeguard you from the Dajjal. But if the Dajjal comes, the first few verses, the surah starts, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Who knows where the surah starts? Who knows where does the surah come? In which chapter? Chapter number? Right. Chapter number 18, surah Kahf. Why? There is a connection between surah Kahf and the Dajjal and us. We are present here. I have to, you know, thank Brother Sahal for, you know, initiating and coming up with this topic. Youth Surah Kahf and Dajjal. There is a lot of connection between them. Youth, Surah Kahf speak about the people of cave. The youngsters who were trapped in caves and they slept for how many years? 300 odd years. But in the end point says Allah knows how many years they slept. More than 300 years Allah gave them a sleep that Allah protected them. Just imagine 300 years. You know, the one generation is gone, one century, second, third century. Allah protected them. So, Surah Kahf has a resemblance between Dajjal and Surah Kahf that Dajjal will do the same thing as the king of that youngster did. They were forcing, the king was forcing every individual, every citizen in that country to obey him and to prostrate to him. And Dajjal will do the same thing. Dajjal will request and demand every individual to do sujood for him. If not, he will kill them. If not, he will torture them. If not, he will punish them. If not, he will leave them in a place where they will have no food, no water, nothing to drink. And then again, what is the connection between the youth and Surah Kahf? Where Allah mentioning in that surah about the youth who survived that tyrant king, who survived and fought back, what is the reward that Allah gave? What is the reward Allah gave them? So, youth, it's very, very important. It has a lot of connection. Right? Again, the connection between youth and the Dajjal. In one hadith, one narration, a lot of people will be following the Dajjal will be youth. May Allah protect us. And same way, the people who will be fighting back against him also youth. You get what I'm saying? Because at that time, old people all will be dead and gone. The deaths will be very quick. People will die very fast. So people will not live long. 30, 40 people is gone. That's what happened. When you see, when you do the this, read the census of the country, the time when 1980, how many people died for the year was less. But now in 2000, the death number is more. When the Qiyamah is getting closer, people will die in a large number. Very few people will pass even 40. Very few people even will pass even 60. All youngsters, only young man will be put. So youngsters only will follow the Dajjal, same way youngsters will fight against the Dajjal. So now, then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where will the Dajjal come? The question. Where will the Dajjal come? When he will come? How he will come? And what is his description? He is a huge man. And one sahabi, Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, in time of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to travel by sea. Suddenly, you know, when you travel in the sea, the risk, and they had a trouble, and then see the ship has to sink down, and he managed to survive in one piece of plank and wood, and he went and end up in island, one of the islands. End up in the island, and then he went there, then he found a huge man inside a cave, who's been tied up with long chains and he's there with one-eyed man. He's tied up, the angels are tying him and he's been blocked and kept there. Soon as Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu went, he asked one question, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come? He said, yes, I am a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has come. He said, then inform them that time for me to come is very close. Time of my, what? Time of my arrival is very close. After that he managed to come back to Medina and he relayed this story to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah, I met such a person, he was tied up, he had one eye, all this description was given, long hair, he was very, you know, evil, not nice looking, ugly guy, all this description was given. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is the Dajjal. He is the Dajjal, the Dajjal who I warned you about. And Allah has kept him alive. But sometimes we think we can go through Google Earth and see where is that island, am I right? Huh? Some guys would have thought about it. Google Earth, now, other day I read in Google Earth, even now, planning to, you know, extend their service that even you can go coral diving into the sea through your screen, the mobile you have. You go through Google Earth, you can see where it is. You think, who think that we can do that?
to go and, you know, find, do a search and see where is Dajjal. We believe that the world science has reached so high that we can, you know, identify and reveal all the places where it is, but anybody who think about Google Earth, you have a lot of experience. Now anyway, we have to travel very quick, mashallah. Our island is, you know, Sri Lanka is as it is, everything is there. Okay, who's going to try that? Huh? Anybody wants to try? Okay, you can try the whole day, you know, for rest of your life. You will never be able to see that. That Allah has conceived. There are certain things, it can be in front of your eye. It can be just present here. But if Allah has put a veil for your eyes, you will never be able to see. You can be what good camera, megapixels, so many, everything, the most sophisticated and best camera you use, you will never be able to see. The best microscope you use, you will never be able to see because Allah doesn't want you to see. That's it. The technology can reach only that amount that Allah has allowed us to go. That's it. It's not the power of the technology. It's not the power of the human brain. It is Allah's command that Allah is showing His power. Allah is showing His power. That only we have to understand. The microscope can go detailed in everything. Sometimes some doctors are surprised. They have done so much of this, but still they can't identify the sickness. All the equipments are available. Everything, what do you name it, is there. But they can't find what's wrong with the person. Because if Allah has put a screen, a veil, that no one will be able to see. So, the Dajjal is alive and he has been protected by the angels. When time comes, Allah will allow them. It is a test for us. This is a test for us. Right. He will come between the Sham and Iraq. The Dajjal will appear between Sham and Iraq. You know, place Sham is the Syria. Sham is not only Syria, it's a large area, Syria, Lebanon, that area, but you can say between Syria and Iraq. He will appear. And how many days he will live in this world? Who knows about it? Who knows? 40 days. But 40 days is not just 40 days as how we calculate here. The first day will be equal to one whole year. Second day will be equal to one whole month. Third day will be equal to one whole week. And the rest of the day will be like our day. So the first 3 days will be the greater, the difficult days, because you have to pass 1 year. Approximately then, 1 year and 1 month and 1 week. That is the 3 days. 3 days will be not 12 months, 11 months, 13 months and 1 week, according to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, what was the, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told this, there was a question asked by Sahabas. What would you think, what was the question asked? Anyone can guess that. What was the question asked? If anyone has read the hadith, keep quiet. If you have not read the hadith, try a guess. What was the questions of the Sahabas at that time? He said that the Dajjal will come between Sham, that is between Syria and Iraq, and he will live, he will stay in this world for 40 days. And the first day will be equal for 1 year, second day will be equal for 1 month, and the third day will be equal to 1 week. And the rest of the days will be the days as, you know, like our days, normal days. Immediately Sahaba asked the question. What would you think? What was the question? Anyone? Just give a try. Don't worry. No one going to fail you or say anything. Good question. Anyone else? What was the next thing you think? Get? What was the question they were asked? When will he come? Immediately Sahaba's concern was not anything else. The concern was about their prayer. And Rasulullah, for a day we are praying how many times? 5 times. For that day, the day will be equal to 1 whole year. Are we going to pray the same 5 times? This was the question. How are we going to do? How is going to be our salah on that day? Why the Sahabas would train that way? That is very important. It's not that something, you know, it was put on them or they miraculously asked for. It was, they were trained that way.
So we need to train ourselves. We need to train ourselves. We need to tune ourselves in such way that our whole day goes with salah. You understood? You're planning. We spoke few programs before about the timing, time management, and we spoke about salah. And we went through detailly about salah, how Islam is about time. Because it speaks about every time, when the time is changing, Islam has introduced a salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on that day, the day which will be equal to one whole day, you have to calculate. Normally, between Asr, Salah and Maghrib, there is 3 hours. So you will calculate normally how many hours between there is every Salah, and you will keep on doing that Salah. That means you will not pray 5 times, you will pray more than 5 times. You will calculate in such way that normally between Fajr and Dhuhr, how many hours is there? Fajr Salah is about 5:16 now, and then Dhuhr Salah is about 4:20. Dhuhr is about 12:20. 12:20 in the mid-afternoon. So approximately there is around 7 hours. Am I right? Huh? 6. 5 years. 6 years. About 6 hours. So then you have to calculate at that time what will be the gap between every Salah. You calculate that and you will be repeating your Salah. This was the question. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further went on. And what will the Dajjal do in this world? The time he will be coming, it will be a very difficult, a crime, there will be a poverty, will be widespread all over the world. It will be famine, people will have no food to eat, no water to drink, food crisis, financial crisis, people will be in trouble. This is the time he will be coming. So people just want for a relief, just say, okay, we want a relief. And at that time, the Dajjal will come and fool everyone by saying, you know, you want rain? Everyone is expecting rain. He will come on, okay, if you want the rain, just believe on me, obey me, and make sujood for me, I will send rain down. He'll make the place rain. He'll allow the, you know, God, you know, the earth to, you know, put out whatever is there. So people start believing. You see, they deceive themselves. But whoever knows about the Dajjal, who are real believers, there is no, he is the Dajjal. He is the Dajjal. So we have to survive. No food to drink, no water to drink, we have to survive. Can you imagine? The strength of Iman will give us that spirit. The strength of Iman and the love that we have towards our religion, the love that we have towards Allah, the love that we have towards Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give us the strength. The time of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahabas went through this for 3 years. Shabi Abi Talib. When they had a boycott in Makkah, the Quraysh decided that we're gonna boycott the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib. Said, we're gonna boycott them. No one can sell anything to them. No one can talk to them. They cannot be seen in a public places. They have to be staying in a rally. Allahu Akbar. Why they were forcing them to leave that religion and come. We follow our forefathers' religion. Sahaba survived. Khadija radiallahu anha gave a greatest help for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. They survived. They were in hungry. They had nothing to eat. In one hadith, one Sahabi is saying, I think Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anha said, those days we used to even eat the dry skin and even eat the leaves. And our excreta used to come out like the dung of the cow and the goats, because we were eating leaves. They went through such a difficulty. When they're having this difficulty, they used to ask Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when are we gonna, you know, come out of this difficulty? Allah immediately revealed in the Quran says, are you gonna obtain the love of Allah, pleasure of Allah and Jannah without going through that difficulty that previous people have gone through? They were cut into two. They were thrown into fire. Because they believed. Because they were, you know, believing in Allah. They will force us. All this modern technology is a modern way of forcing. Now they are not physically coming and force. No. They say everyone has your freedom of religion. You can practice what you want. You have your own. But in a different way they are forcing you. The different way they are saying, you accept our culture. You accept our culture. This is the global culture. You accept your women must dress like our women. You all have to dress like us, think like us, walk like us, just be Muslim. That's it, no problem. Now we are trapped in that trouble. This is one of the trials that we are facing. Muslim, yes. You're Muslim, you go pray 5 times, but come out in the night, you party with us, no problem. This is what they say. You're Muslim, yes. Stand up in the morning, you greet, eat, yes. And then allow your women walk naked, no problem. You follow us. They're forcing you in a different way. They're forcing you in a different way. You know, and I have to tell this, and it might be even, some might take it up in a different way. You know the McDonald company? The largest amount of money was spent to the war in Afghanistan through McDonald's company. McDonald's, we all eat. The same company has produced, manufactured the jet flight, you know, jets which attack civilians in a large number. Imam Anwar al-Awlaki, he will always say, if you don't agree to eat McDonald's and speak like them, the McDonald's jet will come and attack you. That means they force you to do that. A few weeks ago I saw in the paper in Afghanistan, Kabul, now they're happy. They're saying, now youngsters are following the trend in Afghanistan, in Kabul. It comes in international paper, in the front page, they say, the youngsters in Kabul, they're following the trend. Now they see with the jeans, at the bottom, now he's walking with a hairstyle. Now they say, okay, see, we have given them liver. They are free bit. What do you mean then? That we have to understand. We need to understand this life that what there is a pressure above us that forcing us in a many ways. Cutouts, TV programs, when you go in Yahoo or Google or when you come your Gmail account, the clips which comes up and goes, all these automatically it's records in your mind, forces you to do those things. Forces you to do that. And all those things what you see, it's so beautiful, oh. And the whole world is fighting that we want money. Everybody is fighting for the money. Same thing will happen. That's why I say, following the trend and going behind the wealth of this world, enjoyment of this world, we are in trouble in the time of Dajjal. Dajjal can come now. This is the modern trial and the Dajjal of now, that is the internet what we are facing. The problem what we face in internet. The problem what we face in Facebook. The difficulty, the trials. Can anyone say, okay, you walk in the street, there is a girl coming, you may lower your gaze. You know, for some extent say, no, I should not look. But in your Facebook, someone has posted a nice, you know, sexy lady, you know, just standing there with beautiful, you know, curves and hips, you know, all those. Will you lower your gaze? It's a test to us. But Allah says in Quran, O believers, you have to lower your gaze. What will you give? Many youngsters, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm planning of another, session. The youngsters will just want to get married. Pre-marriage counseling. They get married and they are not happy in their marriage. You know one of the reasons why? They're expecting their wife to be like those ladies in the film. They expect it unintentionally. Their purpose is not that. They are not believing, they are not working towards it, but unintentionally you are seeing so much about it. And even our girls are very poor, ashamed. You know, they don't even know why am I dressing a short skirt. They don't even know, you ask that, you feel like that, you feel like, you look like a, you know, bee. You tell, they feel very sad, very bad about it. They are just following the trend. The trend, you know, just yesterday was the 29th of February. Anybody knows anything special about 29th of February? Raise your hand.
Excuse me.
What is special about 29th of February? Just hurry up, guys. Huh?
What?
Leap year.
Leap year. What does it mean? 29th only will come once in
4 years.
And in the Western trend, in the Western culture, do you know anything that they follow in the 29th of February?
What?
Don't know. If guys don't know, then I don't want to talk about it. If you guys know about it, then I'll talk about it. Samir, you know about it. Samir doesn't know about it. Huh? Oh! Samir? Who? Oh. You sure?
How will you know?
You know, I do a lot of reading. To be very honest, I do reading. I take everyday newspapers. I go through newspaper, what are the people is discussing? What is the trend of the world? What is being written? And I go through the mail, I go through the news in Daily Mirror, FT, News, whatever. Because then only we can safeguard ourselves. Knowing your enemy, you can safeguard yourself. Your friend is next to you, you think he is your friend. But he is your enemy. How can you safeguard yourself? Am I right? You can't safeguard yourself. If you know that he is your enemy, then you will be very careful. Anyway, he said, come, Machambi, I'll give you some drink. He said, no, 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 you know, just have. Because you're scared that he may put something and give it to me. But if you think that he is your friend, then what will you do? You will drink it. Then you are in trouble. Okay, in Western world, I will just tell you, you know, in Western world, they wait for that day because it only comes once in 4 years to do their special things that will be remembered in their life. Because 29th of February doesn't come every time. The girls wait in the street to propose for a boy, and boys wait in the street to propose for girls. And surprisingly, the other day's article in Daily Mirror it was, one boy is saying that day he ran away, he stayed away from the house, from the early dawn till late night, and he said, what? Because I didn't want my girlfriend to ask that I must marry her. Because I know she's definitely going to ask that today. So I stayed away. What does it mean? He's living with that girl, he's sleeping with that girl, but he doesn't want to marry her. And he's saying that I'm not ready for the commitment. Allah. I'm not ready for the commitment. What type of life? We are this is what this world is forcing us. This is the trial which is in front of us. What type of life it is? Now when it comes to our moral, what decides this is the standard of our moral? You know what the human rights law? According to human rights, every individual, you decide what is your moral standard. If you want to weigh that say, yes, that is your moral standard, it's fine. You have to decide what is your moral standard, that is what human rights say. But you know what Islam says? Islam has given us a standard moral standard. It doesn't always go with reasoning. Islam will always go based on revelation. Remember that very importantly. Don't just start reasoning everything. You will ask reason. You can't ask reason, you will never end anyway. Your iman will be always in trouble. You have to base your iman in revelation. What is revelation? That is the Quran and Hadith. Quran and Hadith. These are the trials that we are facing. When it comes to new t-shirts, to so many things, new food, it will be so tempting, it will be so delicious, to be so beautiful. And you will like that, you will even able to do anything to do that. So this is what's happening. It is being, you know, beautified, you know, and designed so well, presented to you so well, you think, okay, this is very nice. This is very nice, and you unfortunately we accept that. Unfortunately, we accept those type of things. So this is the time, even in time of Dajjal, same thing. Dajjal will beautify. In one hadith, although the hadith is a bit weak, in one hadith says that Dajjal will design a Jannah and straw. This is Jannah. And Dajjal will design a hellfire and so this is the hellfire. And say, people who believe in me, you go to Jannah. They believe they go, that will be the hellfire. The reality inside will be the hell. Here, people will disbelieve, they will go in way, that will be the Jannah. And we will discuss so much in our iman, because one thing, Allah just requires us, just whatever you do, you come back to me with iman, Allah will take care of us. So Our trial today is to protect our iman. We may give up our iman just like this. We don't know. Sometimes you don't say it out. You are a non-Muslim. You have gone out of Islam, but in your belief you have gone out. The way you think, the way your attitude towards Islam, the way you reason things, you have already gone out of Islam. So remember, my dear friends, in your mind, keep this in your mind, don't follow the trend. Before you do something, ask yourself, why I am doing this? What is the benefit I will get through that? And what is the object in my life? Why am I studying? Many of us don't know why we are studying. Am I right? Many of us don't know why we are here. We need to know that. We need to know the reason why I am here. Why am I studying? What is my purpose in my life? What is the ultimate object that Allah is expecting from us? What is Allah is expecting? We need to keep that in mind. And I'll tell you a story and finish it off. Maybe you all know, and this story is there in the, even I think in YouTube, you go through that, the three loaf of bread. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave example for this world life and the incident which took place in the time of Isa alayhi salam. Who ate the third loaf of bread? Who knows the story? One, maybe few knows it. Okay, all of us are in internet, all of us using emails, Facebooks, but it's very surprisingly that we don't go to this type of things, that we need to go. Just go every day, and this is what your message. You use your Facebook to counter-attack them by giving an Islamic message every day. Don't post. If you post in your wall, in your account, an Islamic thing, every visitor, everyone who's going to like on that, you are getting a sin. Remember that. You are getting a sin. Maybe you think that is just for fun I'm doing it. You're posting a picture, posting a picture of a girl. Anybody, it can be anything. So many youngsters, so many friends of you going to. Not only you are sinning, even you are encouraging so many others to sin. So you are marketing disobedience through your Facebook. So other than that, we need to counter-attack the Facebook through what? Go through, mashallah, nowadays so many shaykhs have created their own page. Look at those shaykhs' page, go and put link, like those page. Then every day there is message is coming. Mufti Ismail's name. He has, I think, 37,000 odd likes in his page. Every day he gives a message. Every day he gives a message. So many shaykhs. So many people have created, every day there is a message, you will know. And our young Muslim scholars in Sri Lanka, I think Mufti Yusuf, Sheikh Agar, and just I created, my brother created for me just 1 week ago, because due to get you guys in contact with us. You can ask a question there, pose the question, you get an answer through that. We need to make use of those things in order to what? Keep our iman together. Build the brotherhood and protect ourselves. We all love to, enjoy ourselves. Yes, Islam gives room for that. Right, three loaf of bread, the time of Isa alayhi salam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam told this hadith, it's a very sahih hadith. Isa alayhi salam had a habit of traveling. He will travel from one place to another place and he will take his people, companions with him. They are then known in Quran, Hawariyun. They have been known as Hawariyun's disciples, who will be following them. He was going through, and he was always testing his followers, who is very loyal, who is very honest, who is very true, he was testing them. He had one man following him, so many were traveling with him, he called him, they felt hungry. He gave some money, said, go and get some food. The man went, he could only buy 3 loaves of bread, and there are so many people to share. He was so hungry, he was so greedy, and he was so dishonest. He felt, if I take the 3 loaves, I will get very less. So what I do, I will eat 1 loaf for myself, I have it. Go back to Isa alayhi salam with 2 loaves. And tell him the money was only suffice to buy what? 2 loaves of bread. He did that because he was greedy. He was greedy. He was, not thinking about others. He was only thinking about himself. When he came, surprisingly, Isa alayhi salam is a prophet. Allah always sent revelation and message to him. Give the 2 loaves of bread. Isa alayhi salam asked, who ate the 3rd loaf of bread? He said, there is only 2 loaves of bread. Okay? They shared that 2 loaves of bread. They were traveling further. Again, they felt hungry.
One guy hunted a deer. They all ate the, you know, meat shell and put everything, bones together. Isa alayhi salam made dua, oh Allah, give life for that deer. The deer came, you know, again, Allah gave the life for the deer. What they ate immediately came alive and ran away. All the disciples were, it's a miracle, right? It's a miracle. Not a miracle, it's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were surprised. Isa alayhi salam showing the power of Allah and asked again that man who ate that third loaf of bread. He said, there is only two loaf of bread. Okay, they went on. They had to cross from one side to other side. They had to cross a river. They didn't have anything, you know, they didn't have a boat or nothing to cross. So Isa alayhi salam said, okay, we each other hold each other's hand, we make dua. They walk over the river. Another miracle. And again he asked, after crossing the river, who ate the third loaf of bread? Again this guy said, only two loaf of bread. They went on, traveling further, found a desert. They were passing through a desert. Isa alayhi salam said, he found out what is his problem, you know, what is his problem. He made three sand dunes, 1, 2, 3. He gathered the sand in the desert and made it three dunes. And he made dua, Allah, make these three dunes gold, you know. Allah turned that all those sands became gold. Oh, everyone is saying, yes, became gold. Isa alayhi salam said, one is for me, other one is for you, the one who went to buy the bread. Third one is for one who ate the third loaf of bread. Surprisingly, he immediately said, I ate the third loaf of bread. Why? His object in the world is, you know, he was greedy for the worldly material things. He said, okay, now even he find out that I'm dishonest, no problem, because I'm getting the gold. It's fine, you know. I'm getting the gold because he find out I'm lying, no problem. I, you know, didn't obey him, I was not honest. It's fine, but I'm getting the gold. Isa alayhi salam said, oh, very sorry, you can't accompany us anymore. You have all three of them. You wait there. They left. He was happy, surprised, because he got not only two, he got the third share as well. He's sitting there and he's already imagining his world. You know, I'm going to buy a Mercedes and I'm going to have that, I'm going to have this iPhone and I'm going to buy those statues, you know, what we imagine now. You know, I'm going to get in that exact, that car, and then all the girls will say, ooh, for me, you know. The guy was imagining the whole thing. While he seated there imagining this, three rogue came to it, said, oh, surprisingly, we have something here. All three of them got together, attacked him, killed him, just finished. All his dreams gone. He didn't take anything. He was dishonest. He left the company of Isa alayhi salam just because of the love of this world. He left that, they killed him. Now all three of them sitting and planning, okay, you take one, I take one, other fellows take, I'll take one. Yes, equally divided. They felt hungry. They said, okay, one guy, we guard this. Two guys said, okay, we will protect this. You go and get food. The guy who went to the market to buy food, he was more greedy than him. He tells, you know what? If I'm going to go, I'm going to lick it one shell. If I'm going to poison this food, I'll eat food and poison the food and take and go. They will die. They will die and I can take all three. They will die, I can kill them and I can take all three. Okay, that was his plan. He was doing that and he was coming back. The two guys who were, you know, the security guards who were looking after the gold dunes there, they also were greedy, you know. They were planning to say, if that guy comes, we have to share the third one with him. So soon as he comes, we'll kill him. And we'll share that third part, you know, we can have it with him. Same way, when he was coming, these two guys attacked him, killed him. They had the food. What happened? All three of them were dead. All three of them were died. The gold just remain as it is. Isa alayhi salam was coming back, he found the four crops, dead bodies there, and he said, this is the life of this world. This is the life of this world. Nothing from this world we're going to take it. Remember that. Okay. Only one thing we're going to take it, our good amal, the character, the good things that we're going to do. Again, coming back to the Dajjal, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will remain in this world for 40 days.
And then there are certain places the Dajjal will never ever be able to enter. Where is that? Certain cities. Makkah and Medina, he will never be able to enter. Allah will protect that two cities with angels. Angels will be the security guard. And then what happened to the disbelievers and the kafirs and munafiqs who lived in Makkah and Medina? Surprisingly, Allah will frighten them by earthquake. In Makkah and Medina, an earthquake will occur. These guys will think, oh, Dajjal has come here, or something is going on here. They will leave Makkah and Medina and they will get caught to the trap of Dajjal. Only real believers will end in Makkah and Medina, and Allah will protect those cities. And that doesn't mean that we will not be protected here. Allah will definitely protect us if we are honest and if we have real belief on Him. InshaAllah, on our next talk, we will go on from there onwards, what will happen to Dajjal and who the Ya'juj Ma'juj. Ya'juj Ma'juj, Magog, Gog and Magog. These are creatures that Allah has created and kept. They will come to this earth and they will make lots of fitna in this world. Lot of fitna, lot of tests we will go through. Then Isa alayhi salam will come, the time of Isa alayhi salam. We will discuss about that inshaAllah. We'll carry on in the lecture. Now it's open for you all for another 10 minutes inshaAllah. By 6 we will conclude it. 10 minutes we give for question answer. Any question you have, I can answer, but sometimes certain questions that will be lengthy, so then you can write to me in my Facebook account inshaAllah, Ashaykh Arkam Nurami, or you can go and write on Heart Talk. We have a page about Heart Talk. You can pose your question on that in Heart Talk or in my page at Sheikh Arkam Nurami. Pose the question inshaAllah, you will get the answer for it if you can't ask here. But now the table is open for your question answer inshaAllah. And I request the Sameer and the Shamil to come forward. If any question that I can't answer, you guys will answer.
Can you ask question? Yes, you can ask. If you want to get invited to the channel, you want to go.
We
want to
get
out. No, but we know most of people are like,
there's no girls here. Sameer,
yeah.
We have not invited girls here.
I think.
Yes, yes.
Just to suggestion, I think most of the friends are said that you were speaking, you say, the answers are very much involved in watching movies and listening to music. That's the trend
these days.
So,
can
you just clarify on why those two things should be avoided?
I think it will be very helpful. InshaAllah, on our next topic, along with the remaining part of the hadith, I will come touch about this entertainment. We spoke on previous session about entertainment. But we didn't go detailedly into it, but we will go through this movie. One of the industries which is making lots of money. Although all the industry is facing a lot of trouble, the industry of entertainment is making money. It's booming. Because people are with it and there's everything behind it. When it comes to entertainment, all the marketing of every product done through them. Through them, you know, they want to market something, a company tied up with the entertainment company say, okay, from this movie, all the actors and actresses will be dressing this clothes, will be using this phone, will be driving these cars, will be wearing these shoes. So, they see how much of people are going to watch that right around the world, then they know they have targeted the market and all the youngsters. At least 50% will be convinced of using what they are doing, speaking the way they speak. InshaAllah, that is a very good topic, since, you know, brother Sameer is just introduced. Sameer Yunus, his name is. He was previously working in one of the media company, MTN. MTN, alhamdulillah, now he's out of it and he's now working with us, inshaAllah. That we want to create our own media unit, inshaAllah, where we will counter-attack all this. This is a name of Allah, so we make use for the sake of Allah and sake of deen, inshaAllah. So he is a guy who is turning his life and say, okay, I've stopped introducing and stopped advertising all the evil and fahishas, now I'm going to do it Islam. MashaAllah, he did an interview with Mufti Ismail Menk, when he came the last tour. It was a very good interview, which is uploaded in YouTube. I think more than 4,000 to 5,000 people have viewed that. Very nice. We've asked many questions about our Islamic activities in this country and many things.
And I was expecting other questions about this friend, and it was very less about this type of question. It was more about, not for the youngster, it is more question was for the people who are involved in the dawah activities. Those type of question was asked and answered. It's very good. Maybe on next interview you should ask this type of question where our youngsters will... See, they are having already here. So that is very good. Then they have... No, because we have to live in this world. We have to live in this world. So in order to... Before we die, we have to live and we have to survive and protect ourselves. So we need to know the world very well. Any other question? Any other question, brothers? No one has question. Even on that topic, yes, mashallah. He is the one man who comes on time every day and he is there, mashallah. He is organizing. What's your name, brother? Yusuf, mashallah. Yusuf, Allah bless him. I see him from the first day. There are so many others. I see them from the first day. But Allah bless all of you, inshallah, who are here. Allah accept your life, your time, and give you a great future. We have to go on with it, mashallah. If we just, you know, every time they... Is this artist is coming and you know so much. Other day it was very surprising, an international singer, I think he sings for Bollywood songs and all those things. When he was going out, he said, I was surprised. When I see his statement, I was very much surprised. He said, I was surprised that Sri Lanka has such a large number of audience. He said, he was surprised because he thought Sri Lanka is still, guys are still busy with fighting their own survival. So they don't have time for this entertainment. He said, no, I was. And unfortunately, they always take comments about the people who were audience. Amongst the comments, there were three Muslims who were giving comments. It was superb. With his name saying. He says, that artist, that, you know, this show was superb. He has given his, you know, saying, what are we doing? So, mashallah, these type of things, mashallah, Samir should interview the guys and take their, Samir and Shamim, Yes, come, sir.
I was told that person is talking about further saying that they do not, so they didn't put on the top of the hadith. I just want to know if it's true.
You see, when it comes to this hadith about that last time, last signs of their qiyamah, there are various narrations come. Under that you can screen, there are some narrations are you can't accept those, some narration can be accepted, there are large number of narrations. But there is no specific time duration was given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He only gave certain signs. This will happen, this will happen. Not only thing, only time he gave an age time, it's when it comes to the life of my ummah, every individual will have between 60 and 70, very few people will pass that age. That's what he said. أعمار أمتي ما بين الستين والسبعين وأكل ما يتجاوز. Very few people will pass between above 70. That is my. But the period of time, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that. Then it will be very easy for people to identify. Okay, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that. Now 1,400 years, another 100 years we're going to live. So we plan. No, that's not way. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us different signs and different incidents which will take place time to time. Different type of people's moral and actions will be corrupted. Through that you can identify that time, you know, the day of judgment, the qiyamah is very close. Okay, other question. This is the one of the impact of the movie. This is the movie. Actually, these, you know, scientists, the people who does that calculation, this and that, they said, okay, this how the sun is traveling, this how the moon is traveling, the world, global warming, this earth, according to their calculation, they say 2012 is the end of the world. But according to we Muslims, we don't need to fear that Dajjal still didn't come. Isa alayhi salam didn't come. After Isa alayhi salam come, we're going to live for another 60 years. Don't worry. After 60 years, then only we're going to die. Then only Muslims will die. So we don't need to worry about when the day will end. But our day might end tomorrow and next minute. That's what we have to worry about. World ending, don't worry about the world end. You know? So this is about that day after tomorrow. This movie actually I also watched. To be very honest, I watched that movie because day after tomorrow they said it is all about how the Qiyamah will take place. One of my friends said, this how will take place. When I was going through the Quran and looking at the movie and coming back to the Quran and seeing Quran says certain signs, they have some way in certain clips, they have certain events, they have imitated those things. That is, that word, that movie says day after tomorrow, it is about the world's end. Where the global warming, the whole world, the temperature goes down in China, in India, everywhere, they shows that. That is the one of the signs that Allah says in Holy Quran. Allah says in Holy Quran, when the sun rises from what? West to east. Now it is east to west. When it comes from west to east, then the temperature will be really troubled. Because the whole thing. So, what I'm saying is, this is what the movie is, have a lot of impact on you. You start believing, you start asking this question. And other thing is, other reason is, we don't know what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us regarding the end time. That's why we believe that. If we know about this and we believe in that, then we won't worry about that. So this is very important. We have to educate ourselves Islamically, then we can counterattack all those misconceptions which is coming. JazakAllah khair. Anyone else? Any other questions? Brother? Yes.
One of the various cases from the new day, that is the advantage of the situation, and there is a tenant, yes, and they said, if the mother is 2012, I will report it. So, they are invited to even come to the church and ask for forgiveness. So, they are attacking.
You understand what it means? We can ask forgiveness immediately now. Understood? Allah has given, keep the day open. When the door of forgiveness will be closed, when the sun rises from the west, from that day onwards, the door of forgiveness is closed. So we still have time. Allah is most, you know, merciful. Allah forgives us. So you can be you can be the biggest sinner. Don't worry. You could have done the greatest crime. Don't worry. There is forgiveness in Allah. You can come back. So we need to prepare. That's why I said, world will never end in 2012, but we may end. I may end, you may end, you know? Yes. Yeah. That's what we have to put it. Anything else? Yes. Alaykum salam. Yes. Sheikh Imran Hussain is a very good speaker. He speaks about the current topic, and he speaks about the current regime, way this American and British all together in the world, how they are counter-attacking Islam and going behind the veil. He has a very good topic about when it comes to global financial crisis. Sheikh Imran Hussain, he speaks, what is that? Why is it behind? And on that explanation, I don't agree because the answer, question which was asked by Sahabas and the reply of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you calculate according to the time your Salah. So if it was according, is looking at a different angle. I don't agree as a scholar, I disagree with him on that topic. But according to, if you say the word is clear, the word in the Hadith is very clear. When it's not clear, then only we need the interpretation of the scholars to put into that. But in a way, what he's saying, it has a sense. It makes sense. It makes sense. But not everything which makes sense is a religion. What he's saying is, it makes sense. He has an argument. He has a point on it, definitely. In the way he's looking it, he's right. But it's not the religion, whatever it makes sense. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the understanding properly. But I disagree with him in that regard. Okay, thank you. Of course. Now, when you see behind this American, even the president, he's helpless. There is a conspiracy behind it, that even president doesn't know who is planning. Actually a president, he can come, the people who create the president of America and the prime minister of UK and the prime minister of Israel are the people who are behind this regime. And time of the Dajjal, the Jews, world will never end, another very important thing, world will never end until the Muslims fight openly with Jews. There will be a huge battle between Muslims and Jews. And every Jew will be killed. Not a single creation of Allah will help the Jew. For so much every tree will say, if a Jew go and hide himself behind a tree, will say, Ya Muslim, Khalfi al-Yahud, behind me there is a Yahud. So kill me. But except for one tree, Al-Gharqad, a tree which they are now planting everywhere. In the name of global warming, they are saying, you know, we need to create greenery, world is in a concrete jungle, we need to plant everywhere. They are spreading that in Europe in a large number of trees. According to one information what I got, in 2020, they want to plant trees which will be equal in their population. Which will equal their population. Jewish community is one of the smallest community in the whole world. The smallest community. The World War, when it comes in the Second World War, what happened to the Jews? You know that. Almost 6 million Jews, they were thrown away from Europe. And the number might be here and there, you know. The number of Jews are very less, so they are planning. They know, they go through the Quran and Hadith. They are the people intentionally, openly went against of Allah. They also follow their trend, they make amendment. Allah is giving us an example for them. Whenever they did that, whenever they changed their religion, Allah tested them. The Europe they test, Allah tested them because at that time Jews were following 100% the Torah. And the European trend was different. So they said together, they say, okay, if you want to survive with these people, we need to change our religion. Intentionally they changed. Intentionally they confirmed with the majority. Intentionally, so Allah put them out of it. Allah is warning us as Muslims, we should never ever intentionally confirm or unintentionally confirm ourselves with majority. You know, and mixing. That is the one thing that we should not do. That's why in every time, in every salah, 17 rakat, we ask Allah, Oh Allah, don't mislead us. Guide us. Don't mislead us or don't make us lack such people of Yahud and Christians. Christians is not intentional, very shame, you know, poor guys. They work very hard. They say, Jesus forgive, they work day and night, they worship Jesus. But no use. They have misled. They were misled. But Jews, they were not misled, they plan. They know what is the real religion and they are purposely they are doing it and they are waiting for the arrival of the Dajjal. They are the people who will be helping the Dajjal. And all these things, that's why they always, some ulama say, when the TV, all these are the Dajjal, because it is helping to reach their objective, inshallah. So may Allah protect us, if we be with Iman, definitely Allah will protect us, inshallah. Anyone else? I think the time is already fixed. Yes, Shahbaz. It's another lengthy topic. Shamim raised, yeah, very good. Our brother, what is his name? Shahbaz, he's from Hambantota. He's studying in Morocco University. He's an engineer student. It's a very good. We'll take this as a separate topic. It's good suggestion. Yes, inshallah. I will need some guys who are into IT and who knows Facebook much more than me. You know, I am just a guy who is a user. I know things, you know, what happens and here and there, but not when it comes to the technical part of it. So maybe Hafiz knows it, right? Hafiz knows very well, inshallah. So we will have how it goes, how the Facebook works and how we can make use of Facebook as a good Muslim, inshallah. Very good. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. You have to safeguard yourself. Yes, every time that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this ummah in such way, there will be always this ummah will be guided by ulama. Allah has kept in that. Time to time, we can go through the history. There will always be a negative force, then there is a positive force always there. Allah has kept this ummah. That is, the survival of this ummah is having a negative and a positive. So there will be always imams who is inviting people towards good. There will be scholars who are inviting people towards good. So in a way, we can, you know, think about that, you know, following a person. But it should not be blindly followed. Without knowledge you follow, then you enter. That's the example. When it comes to the people of Shia, may Allah protect us, and some other groups, you have, they follow blindly the imam. Whatever they say, they do it. So if you follow the imam blindly, then you are more in trouble. Because Dajjal has to only corrupt the imam. The imam get corrupted, imam say everyone, yes, you jump, all will do it. So the task will be very easy. So if not, you following the imam blindly, you need to follow imam not blindly, just with your knowledge. Then you know. If he says this, then he is doing something wrong. Because this is clearly Quran, Hadith says, not about, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So you need to have basic knowledge about Quran and Hadith, where you will not follow an imam blindly. Shall we conclude it? It's about, yes, brother. Last question I'm taking. Sameer, you have another one. Okay. It's a question what I'm not much aware about it, but anyways, behind everything there is people who are working, you know. Behind everything that we, our sense can say about it, we can understand that, but I don't know, we know the Zionist force behind this global financial crisis and all this thing, we know about the Zionists. But we don't know in which form, in which way they are attacking, in which way, what is the organization, name by namely, I can't say that. But inshallah we can look into it, something like that, but by knowing that we can actually just safeguard ourselves in many ways. But what is the important is that we need to protect ourselves. So many things can happen, but nothing will happen without the permission of Allah. Everything happens with Allah's permission, Allah's command. So we are real believers, we pray 5 times, we obey Allah, and Allah will definitely protect us. Allah will definitely protect us. So with that question we conclude, and I hope I want Shamim to come take over and conclude it. Jazakumullah khair, brothers who have come here. So inshallah our next talk we will try to make more, you know, to carry on with the Dajjal's remaining part, and then we come up with two questions was asked. One is about this movie entertainment, and other one is about the Facebook, which has to be detailedly explained. So maybe if you can take next week, we will take the Facebook, if not on the next session, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
For more lectures, visit SLH.